Okay, so you guys have sent us some really interesting stuff about the historical evidence for like Jesus' crucifixion and all, and it's a lot to process. So we're going to like break it all down.
Yeah, it's a pretty dense topic.
Yeah, and we've got this really detailed article from Christian Culture News that kind of ties it all together, you know, using all kinds of different sources. So
it's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess what we're trying to do in this deep dive is like go beyond just the facts that they present and really like pull out the main historical insights that this article offers about this, you know?
Absolutely.
This hugely important event.
What I think is so useful about this article is how it lays out all the different kinds of evidence that we have. You know, we're looking at the biblical accounts, obviously, but also what non-Christian historical writers had to say about it. And then you've even got archaeology, you know, what's been dug out.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So it's like a multifaceted approach to understanding why this event is so important.
Mm.
You know, not just theologically, but historically and culturally too, which is kind of what the article's introduction talks about.
Right, exactly. Okay, so let's unpack this. I guess it makes sense to start with what are probably like the most direct accounts we have.
Yeah, first
which are the New Testament Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all talk about the crucifixion, but like the article points out, each one kind of comes at it from a slightly different angle.
Yeah, right. And I think what's really interesting is when you look at these different accounts together, you can see how each author was writing for a particular audience. You know, and they emphasize certain things, like Matthew, for example. He's really focused on the political side of things, like what was going on with Pontius Pilate.
Interesting.
But for the reader,
yeah,
you know, that emphasizes how Jesus claiming to be the Messiah was a big deal during the Roman occupation. It wasn't just some religious thing. It had real political implications.
Right. That's fascinating. And then we have Mark, who is often seen as like the earliest gospel. And the article describes his writing as very straightforward, you know, like very stark, really focusing on like Jesus's suffering and that sense of abandonment. It's almost like you can feel the raw emotion in his account. So like, what does that tell us about how this event was first understood?
Well, I think for those early Christians, you know, many of them were facing persecution themselves. So Mark's focus on suffering and endurance would have really resonated with them, you know, like it showed the human cost of it all and maybe even gave them a feeling of solidarity in their own struggles.
Yeah.
It makes you think about how that really raw portrayal shaped how they saw their faith.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then you've got Luke, who brings in these really powerful themes of forgiveness and redemption.
Yes.
The article highlights Jesus's words from the cross in Luke's gospel, you know, like those messages of compassion, even when he was literally dying. It kind of broadens the whole scope of what happened, you know, suggesting this much wider significance to his sacrifice.
Yeah, and Luke's emphasis on forgiveness is definitely a big part of what makes his account unique. And when you think about his whole gospel, you know, how it focuses on God's mercy for everyone, well, the crucifixion becomes less of an ending and more like a turning point in this much bigger story about universal salvation.
Right, right. And finally, John's gospel. The article talks about how there's a shift here towards Jesus's divine nature. You know, the crucifixion is almost presented as like the fulfillment of prophecy, this crucial moment in this like grand plan of salvation history. So how does that divine focus in John shape how we understand what actually happened historically?
Well, in John's gospel, it's not like the crucifixion just happened to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like he was in control of it all along, like it was part of his divine mission. So I think for the reader, that highlights a different theological interpretation, you know, one that maybe developed later as the early Christian community thought more deeply about who Jesus was and what his purpose was.
Yeah, it's so interesting how despite all these different angles and the different details that each gospel gives us, the article still stresses that they all agree on the basic facts of the crucifixion. Like it was Jesus, it was Pontius Pilate, it was the cross. You know, they might have different reasons for telling the story the way they do, but the core event is still there.
Right, exactly. And while a lot of historical analysis focuses on those differences, what's important for us to keep in mind is that that underlying agreement on these fundamental things gives us a pretty solid historical basis for the narrative.
Totally. Okay, so here's where things get really interesting, because now the article moves beyond those like foundational biblical texts and starts to look at what non-Christian sources have to say. And it focuses on two really important historical figures, the Roman historian Tacitus and the Jewish historian Josephus.
Yeah, and those are super valuable because they give us a view from outside of the Christian movement itself, you know. So like Tacitus, for instance, writing around 116 CE, he mentions that Christ was executed under Pontius Pilate while he's talking about Nero blaming the Christians for the great fire of Rome in 64 CE. And the really important thing for the reader here is that a Roman historian writing about Roman history just kind of casually confirms that the crucifixion happened. You know, it was an event that the Roman authorities were aware of.
Right. The article really emphasizes how significant it is that a Roman historian like Tacitus documented this. It wasn't about whether he believed it or not. It was just part of the history he was writing about.
Exactly. And then you have Josephus, a first century Jewish historian, and in his book Antiquities of the Jews, he also mentions Jesus's execution by Pilate. Now, the article does point out that scholars are still debating how authentic some parts of Josephus's writings are.
Yeah.
But most agree that this core reference to the crucifixion is actually genuine.
So in your view, what's the most important takeaway from these non-Christian sources?
Well, for me, it's that these separate accounts from both a Roman and a Jewish perspective back up that basic story we find in the New Testament.
Huh.
You know, they give us a wider historical context for Jesus' death, showing that it wasn't just some isolated event within a small religious group, but something that even outside observers at the time knew about.
Right. Okay. So to really understand like the whole situation surrounding this event, we need to zoom out a bit.
Yeah. The big picture.
Yeah. And look at the Roman historical context of first century Judea. And the article dives into that. You know, it was a region that was experiencing a lot of political and social unrest. And the Romans were very focused on like stopping any kind of rebellion.
Absolutely. The article is right to highlight how important it was for the Romans to keep things under control in Judea, which was always a volatile province. Mm-hmm. Anyone who even seemed like they could be a leader or stir up trouble would have been seen as a threat and dealt with harshly.
Yeah, and crucifixion, as the article explains, was the standard Roman method of execution for slaves, non-citizens, and enemies of the state. It was brutal. It was public. It was all about making an example of someone to scare others.
It was very much a deliberate display of Roman power.
Yeah.
You know, both punishment and a warning not to mess with them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the accusations against Jesus, especially the claim that he was the king,
yeah,
it makes sense in that Roman context that crucifixion would have been seen as the right way to get rid of him and discourage his followers.
Yeah. The article also talks about the role of influential local groups like the Sanhedrin and how they worked with Pontius Pilate.
Right.
They saw Jesus as a troublemaker, basically, and they teamed up with the Romans to get him out of the picture. So what does that tell us about how things were working back then?
Well, I think what's really insightful for the listener here is that it shows this interplay between the power of the Roman Empire and the local Jewish authorities. You know, the Sanhedrin had their own religious and political reasons for wanting Jesus gone, and Pilate, who was trying to avoid more unrest and keep his own position, you know, it was politically convenient for him to go along with what they wanted. So you can see this whole web of motivations that led to the crucifixion.
Right. So it wasn't just this isolated religious event. The article frames Jesus's crucifixion as this like pivotal moment where Roman law, local customs, and these very real political fears all came together. It puts the event right into the bigger story of Roman history.
Exactly. For the listener, this understanding changes how we see the crucifixion. It's not just something theologians debate about. It was a major event in the political and social history of the Roman Empire with real consequences.
Okay, so let's move on to something a little more tangible. The article then shifts to talk about archaeological findings related to crucifixion. So now we're going from texts to like physical remains.
Yeah, and the archaeological record can add a whole other layer to our understanding. You know, the article highlights this discovery in Jerusalem back in 1968 of skeletal remains that show clear signs of crucifixion. Like you can see evidence of nails through the feet and wrists. And I think what's particularly striking is that this gives us direct physical confirmation of how crucifixion was done, which is exactly how it's described in those ancient texts.
Yeah. And that detail about the iron nail that was found still stuck in the heel bone, that's just, wow. Like, what does that one artifact tell us?
It's like this visceral connection to the reality of crucifixion. You know, it wasn't just some idea. It was brutal and physical. The article also talks about the Alexandrian cipher, which is this inscription that mentions crucifixion during Roman rule. And then there are other artifacts like pottery and coins that have images or writing about crucifixion on them.
So even though these things aren't direct proof of Jesus's crucifixion specifically, as the article points out, they do build a pretty strong case for how real and how common crucifixion was as a form of execution back then.
Absolutely. For the listener, these findings provide a real tangible framework that supports the historical accounts and helps us to better grasp the cultural and socio-political and religious context in which Jesus' crucifixion happened. You know, it makes those accounts more historically plausible.
Okay, so what does all this mean in a bigger sense? Well, the article then turns to the theological interpretations of the crucifixion, and this is where the event becomes so incredibly important for Christian belief.
Right. The mainstream Christian views, as the article explains, sees the crucifixion as this ultimate act of sacrifice, a demonstration of God's love, and the way that humanity can be redeemed and atone for sins, you know, ultimately leading to salvation. And that's the central theological meaning that's been given to this event.
And the article touches on how different denominations within Christianity interpret this.
Yeah.
So for Catholicism, there's this big emphasis on transubstantiation and the Mass as a reenactment of Christ's sacrifice, making it central to the Eucharist. So what's the main understanding there?
Well, in Catholic theology, the Mass is understood as like making Christ's sacrifice on the cross present right here and now.
Yeah.
So believers can actually participate in that saving act through the Eucharist. It's a very direct connection to the event.
Right. And then you have Protestantism, where the focus is more on the idea of being saved through faith alone. And the crucifixion is seen as this like once and for all demonstration of God's grace and mercy. So what's the core difference there?
Well, for a lot of Protestants, the focus is on the individual's faith in Christ's sacrifice as the only way to be made right with God. The crucifixion is seen as the defining act that made that salvation possible for everyone who believes. And the article also briefly mentions how these interpretations developed over time, you know, through figures like Athanasius and Augustine, which shows that these theological ideas have a long and complex history.
Okay, so it's important to remember that not everyone agrees with these theological interpretations or even with like every detail of the historical account. And the article does address that skepticism and presents some counterarguments.
Yeah, and that's a crucial part of any historical investigation.
Yeah.
The article raises the point that our main sources for the life and death of Jesus are largely religious texts in the New Testament. And those were written with specific theological goals in mind. So naturally, for the listener, that raises questions about how objective they really are as purely historical accounts, especially given how much time passed between the events and when those texts were written.
Yeah, the article also mentions the criticism that there aren't that many non-Christian references, and that even when we do find them in writers like Josephus and Tacitus, the context and their possible biases are often debated by scholars. So those who are skeptical really want to see more independent and clear-cut evidence.
Right. It's like they're asking, where is the totally unbiased, non-religious proof that confirms every single part of the biblical account without any theological influence? And the article also touches on the idea that some people have that those strong theological interpretations surrounding the crucifixion might actually be shaping or even distorting how people see its historical authenticity.
Right. And of course, the article acknowledges those bigger and often more controversial debates about whether Jesus even existed historically, and the really complex questions about the evidence for the resurrection, which comes after the crucifixion in the biblical narrative.
Yeah, all of those are valid areas of research and debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, support for the listener to be aware of all these different perspectives and viewpoints within historical and theological scholarship.
Absolutely. Okay, so bringing things to the present day, the article then looks at how this historical evidence, or the belief in it, I should say, still impacts modern beliefs. You know, for a lot of believers, those ancient texts and the archaeological findings are like the foundation of their faith. They see the crucifixion not just as something that happened in the past, but as the core of their understanding of God, the ultimate sacrifice, the act of redemption, the ultimate proof of God's love.
Right, for people who hold these beliefs, the historical evidence, even if it's debated by some, just strengthens the basic principles of their faith. The crucifixion isn't just some story that's been passed down. It's seen as an event that really happened in history with huge theological and personal importance.
And the article also points out how the crucifixion is still remembered in religious practices, especially during Holy Week and Good Friday.
Right.
These aren't just like historical remembrances, you know, they're really meaningful rituals that connect believers today directly to that historical narrative.
Yeah, those annual commemorations help to keep the memory and the meaning of the crucifixion alive and central within the Christian community, you know, across generations. It's a way of actively remembering and engaging with this pivotal event.
Yeah, and the article also highlights how that ongoing conversation between archaeological discoveries and textual analysis and modern belief can both support and challenge people's faith.
Yeah.
You know, it makes believers think critically about what they believe and the historical basis for it.
It's definitely a dynamic and evolving relationship. You know, new discoveries and interpretations can either back up existing beliefs or raise new questions, which can lead to a more nuanced and often more complex understanding of faith and its historical roots.
Right. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think it's clear that looking into the historical evidence for Jesus's crucifixion means looking at a ton of different sources. You know, the Christian Culture News article we've been talking about does a great job of showing this multidisciplinary approach, bringing together biblical accounts, insights from Roman and Jewish historical writing and actual physical evidence from archaeology.
Exactly. I mean, it's a really detailed picture. Mm-hmm. And by considering all these different kinds of evidence, the listener can gain a much richer and deeper understanding of this crucial event, not just as a theological concept, but as a real moment in history with huge and lasting effects.
Yeah, and the article even mentions some really cool potential areas for future research, like more archaeological digs into crucifixion practices in the ancient world and comparisons with similar practices in other cultures.
Yeah, those ongoing scholarly efforts could really help to shed even more light on the historical context and the broader significance of crucifixion back then.
Absolutely. And that brings us to our final thought for you in this deep dive. You know, when you think about all this evidence coming together, the biblical accounts, what Roman and Jewish historians said, even the physical stuff that archaeologists have found, what does that tell you about the power and impact that this one historical event has had over thousands of years? It's something to think about and maybe even explore further on your own. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for listening.